Welcome into the Ether, a podcast focusing on all things Ethereum, the leading blockchain for decentralized applications. I'm Eric Connor, your host and founder of ETHHub, a decentralized information hub for Ethereum. Into the Ether features deep dives on topics with prominent guests in the community, as well as ETHHub weekly recaps featuring Anthony Sisano. Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Ether. Today, I have Loy Liu on the podcast. Loy is the CEO of Kyber Network, an on-chain liquidity protocol powering instant and secure token exchanges and Ethereum applications. Thanks for joining me today, Loy.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Yeah, I've been a fan of Into the Ether.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. I've been a fan of Kyber for a long time, so this should be a good conversation. I always like to kind of start with some basic background information. So, you know, can you kind of just tell me a little bit about yourself and how you originally got involved with Ethereum?
Yeah. So, I originally started as a PhD, student here in Singapore. So I started doing research on blockchain and cryptocurrency since 2014. Back then I was doing, research on Bitcoin mining and all the mining pools and how the attacks affect the security of the network. And in late 2014, I get to know about Ethereum, and I started doing full-time research on Ethereum. And I think our team in NUS wrote the first paper, first academic paper about Ethereum. And then I, shared with the community, and I reached out to Vitalik to ask for his feedback, and I get to know him since then. And over time, we work on a few nonprofit open source projects, and one of that is the first security smart contract analyzer for Ethereum. And another one is a smart pool, the decentralized mining pool using the smart contract, running fully on Ethereum as well. And in 2017, other co-founders, we decided to create Kyber, and I have been working full-time at Kyber since then.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny to think back at this point, 2014. I mean, first of all, it's only been 5 years, but I always joke it feels like it's been 50. I feel like in cryptos, time is sped up, right? 1 year is equal 10 in real life.
Yeah, but, exactly.
It's also... Yeah, it's amazing too, how small the community was back then as well versus today. I mean, it's just grown so much.
Yeah, exactly. Back then in 2014, right? Anything that you do, you can share with the community, and everyone appreciate it. And you feel so encouraging to work on Ethereum and new research, right? And then it's just much easier to get attention from people back then than now.
Yeah, for sure. And feedback from people you care about and stuff. It's all harder now, but at least I guess the user base and audience is bigger. So that's a plus.
Exactly.
So, so that's a good background. How did the original idea for Kyber come about, or how did your team form?
So the current Kyber team actually work on smart pool for more than a year in the part-time basis. So we have three co-founders, and we all work on smart pool together. We launch it. We did the mainnet deployment and work with a few miners in smart pool together. During the time at smart pool, we realized that we really wanted to create something that's cool and that's gonna help everyone in the space, right? And we look around and see what are the other problems that are still major, but no one has really solved it. And we realize that decentralized trading is still a major concern, right? Most of the trading activities in the space is still happening on centralized platforms. And from time to time, we hear about, hackings and, accident from the exchange and things like that, right? So that's why we decided hey, let's work on let's try to solve this problem, because looks like there's no solution that could help the users to, first of all, have a safe trading environment, and second, really easy for mainstream users to use, right? Yeah. So after spending a few months, we finalized the solution and decided to work on Kyber.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, that's actually, I got started in the space with decentralized exchanges working on EtherX. I mean, it's one of the most obvious applications of Ethereum. And I think we're starting to see steam pick up here a little bit. I mean, it's my personal opinion, kind of the next wave of DeFi will be on the decentralized exchange side. And I think we're seeing good momentum there. And later we'll kind of get into adoption and stuff too. But, you know, I guess first, I'm pretty sure most people listening have probably heard of Kyber, but do you mind kind of just explaining Kyber Network at a high level?
So when we started Kyber back in 2017, it was like super simple, right? So we just position ourselves as a decentralized exchange, and you know, we connect with professional market makers so that they can bring liquidity on chain and make it ready for anyone to, you know, take it anytime, right? So the idea here is that you can query to the smart contract and you can find the rate. And if you're happy with the rate, you can just send a generation to take the order placed by the market makers, right? And it was like, you know, our original design back in 2017. And over time, we realized that, you know, we can actually sort of like evolve our protocol at the design to make it more generic. So now Kyber is really developed as a sort of like on-chain liquidity protocol. So on one side, we connect all the different liquidity sources, you know, including Uniswap, Oasis Dex, and even like, you know, our previous existing professional market makers, and a few other on-chain liquidity sources as well, to make it available on the smart contract. And on the other side, we can offer the liquidity, the aggregated liquidity to anyone who want to take it, right? Like be it DeFi applications like Nuo, B0X, you know, Melonpot, and all the decentralized fund management platform, and even like, you know, the end users via all the crypto wallets that integrate with Kyber as well. So it's really like, you know, more generic and can serve a lot more application in this space.
Nice. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know you guys are doing a lot of like volume behind the scenes, which I definitely want to dive into as well. I think a lot of people just kind of look at KyberSwap as your product, and that, you know, that's not just your product, right? It's more about what you're just talking about on kind of liquidity pools and things like that. I mean, I guess if I tried to break down the core components of Kyber, I think of it as, you know, there's makers providing liquidity. Then there's kind of this aggregation of liquidity, which you were just talking about. And then, as you mentioned, there's takers accessing that liquidity. Is that kind of a good like three-step summary of it?
Right. So basically, we created an interface for, you know, two parties to interact with each other in one sort of like aggregated interface, right? Like, you know, on the liquidity providers, they can just, you know, connect to this smart contract to provide liquidity to any available takers, right? And on the other side, the taker, by just talking to our smart contract, they will be able to talk to all the, you know, available liquidity providers as well. So it sort of like makes it easy for everyone to talk to everyone.
Nice. Yeah. And like, look, liquidity is king, right? Like, that's why some decentralized exchanges have struggled a little bit. I think you guys have done a good job there. Like, you're able to kind of pool a lot of liquidity that anybody can tap into. Can you talk a little bit about kind of that maker side and providing liquidity? Is this, you know, you said that people can tap into the smart contract. Is this something that anybody can do? You know, if someone's listening to this and potentially sitting on some coins that they would want to provide, can anybody do this, and how can they go about doing that?
Right. So basically, we have the smart contract, and if you want to provide liquidity, you just need to set up your own contract, interact with our Kyber network contract, right? By just calling all the predefined function, and register it to the smart contract network, and after that, you just need to put your inventory to your own smart contract, and now and you have like to from time to time to have some mechanism to update the price of your token that you want to provide liquidity for, right? And so now, if anyone want to, take your order, they will talk to Kyber smart contract, and we will just the Kyber contract will just query your contract to get a rate and to inform the users, right? And once the trade happens, it will just, you know, take the token from your contract according to the rate provided by you, and forward it back to the takers. So basically, it's open, Anyone can just create and deploy their own contract and register it to the network smart contract to provide liquidity. The reason why we sort of like, you know, make it generic like that is to allow different ways of contributing liquidity, right? So, for example, we can work with different liquidity model. For example, we can still work with Uniswap and allow Uniswap to still use their automated market making formula. And at the same time, we can still work with Oasis Dex, developed by MakerDAO, right? And Oasis basically maintain a lot of like on-chain orders with large value, right? And another example is that we can also like work with professional market makers who can frequently update their price and they don't have like, to put a lot of like capital upfront like the Uniswap model and still provide the reasonable liquidity for the tokens. So that's the high level design.
Gotcha. And so are you saying that Uniswap and Oasis, so I guess now it's ETH to DAI or whatever exchange makers running these days, are they tapping into your liquidity pools? Is that how it's working?
So it's more like we integrate to their liquidity pool and make it available to all the takers that talk to Kyber. So Uniswap provide liquidity to Kyber. Oasis also provide liquidity to Kyber as well.
Okay, gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Are there any financial incentives for people to go and provide this liquidity to Kyber Network?
Yeah, there's always the spread that the market makers can earn, right? And that's the main source of financial incentive for them.
Gotcha. So if I want to go provide and I set my rate, you're saying, you know, there's a spread between like the maker taker side and the person providing the liquidity is going to be taking that?
Yes. So it's like, you know, if you sell Ether at, if you sell your DAI at like, you know, 1.001 cent, right? And if you buy it back at like 0.999 cent, so the spread of like, you know, 0.2 cent is your profit.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. So that's the kind of the liquidity providers and the maker side. Then in the middle, is Kyber doing some type of, I mean, now you have multiple smart contracts plugging into Kyber with liquidity. Are you guys then doing some kind of aggregation at some point in the middle to kind of publish these rates onto, you know, either KyberSwap or whatever other third-party applications are tapping into this?
Right. So our smart contract, we just aggregate all the integrated liquidity, right? So when you query the smart contract, our smart contract, we just, you know, talk to all the, plug-in smart contract to get the best rate for you. So basically our Kyber smart contract, we just talk to Uniswap, talk to Oasis Dex, talk to other market makers and get the best rate for all the takers.
Gotcha. And then kind of the final step is being integrated into, you know, the tanker side, right? So, what are the kind of the applications? And I want to talk about KyberSwap because I know that's one of them. But outside of KyberSwap, maybe, you know, other third-party teams or tools, what are kind of the top ones that are tapping into this liquidity pool for the end users?
Yeah, so currently we have more than 60 different applications and wallets that already integrate with Kyber and take the liquidity from Kyber, right? I would like to classify them into like four or five different categories and use cases, right? The first one is wallet that allow the users to swap and trade the tokens directly from the wallet without having going to different website and do it on the website, right? Now they can do everything within their own wallet that they already manage their own crypto. We have MyEther wallet, the wallet that everyone knows, right? We have Arm Token, which is the most the most popular wallet in China, and we also have like Engine. Engine is they got integrated in Samsung Galaxy S10, right? And there's another one that we recently managed to integrate with, which is HTC blockchain phone. So they have their own native wallet for in the phone as well. So wallet is one area. Another category is a lot of like decentralized finance application. So one example is SET protocol, because you know when the users they want to create a set of tokens, they need to buy you know several you know tokens within one transaction, right? And currently SET is integrating with Kyber to do that. And I heard that you know later on they have all the rebalancing mechanism that have to happen on chain, and they also plan to use Kyber for that as well. And another DeFi application is Nuo and B0x that offer like margin trading, right? So they will just they already integrate with Kyber and take the liquidity from there as well. Let me see. So we also like plan to integrate with existing relayers and decentralized chain as well to share the liquidity pool with them. So like 0x relays, we can also work with them so that we can allow the users to like do the market orders and get the liquidity from Kyber. Yeah, I think these are the main sort of like application and categories that have use cases that have integrated with Kyber.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, that's a nice list of applications, right? So basically there's all these kind of in user applications that have token swapping ability, and you know, they're using your liquidity pools to make those trades happen, which is pretty cool. I guess on that, are you guys providing liquidity yourself, or do you get any type of kind of fee off of any of those trades, or kind of what is your funding model at this point?
We do have a small team that works on the liquidity provider side. So that will, you know, earn some, you know, fees from all the trading, right? And on the other hand, on KyberSwap, we also, take a commission of the fees. So this is like, you know, the design of the protocol, right? So anyone who integrate with the smart contract, they can claim part of the transaction fees, right? Like MyLittle Wallet can also claim, I think 30% of the fees that the users pay when they transact in the network. Just to incentivize like all the wallets and other website and other platform to integrate with Kyber. So that's, you know, a different source of income for us at the moment. Yeah, but of course, you know, anyone can claim that fee if they introduce the users and help the users to create the transaction with Kyber.
Nice, cool. Yeah, that's a win-win for both sides there. I think that leads us a little bit into KyberSwap, which, you know, is kind of your team's, you know, token trading tool that taps into this liquidity pool. Can you talk a little bit about KyberSwap?
Right. So KyberSwap is the end user's interface that allows the users to, trade with Kyber easily, right? It's really like the web interface, and we also have the mobile app that allow the users to talk to the smart contract, faster and easier. And we have like nice, UI to help them understand like the market, the rate, and interact with different hardware wallets as well. So basically, it's just like different way for the users to interact with the contract. So the users can also like do the same operation on MyLittle Wallet, on their end users crypto wallet if they already have one that is already integrated with Kyber, but we focus a lot more on making it easy and extremely easy for the end users to use without all the hassle and all the different onboarding problems. Okay, so I think I had to like to get back to like to go back in time in like early 2018, right? A lot of people like complain about how hard it is to use crypto application. All the website are really bad, or there's no UI UX consideration. So we were like, if we rely on all the existing wallets and website, then it might be a bit hard for our own end users to use the protocol, right? So we really like have to focus on developing our own internal interface. So that's why we decided to create KyberSwap. And so far we have gone through like several iteration, optimize a lot and get a lot of feedback from the end user as well. now we get a pretty solid interface that most of the users love it.
I totally agree. I mean, you guys do a good job on the user interface side. Like if you go there and you want to just swap an Ether for any token, you just put that in, you say how much you want it, and like instantly gives you the quote and, you know, the trade executes if you want it, which is a really nice user experience.
One more thing on KyberSwap. So we do have like, you know, a few sort of like small features that help us like acquire and sort of like introduce crypto to the first users, right? Then one of the features that we have is a gift card coupon, right? So the idea here is that like we give people we give them like a small gift card, right? Like, you know, $5 worth. And there's a code in that gift card, and they have to go to KyberSwap, enter that code, and they can redeem, you know, like 5 DAI, right? But in order to redeem that, they have to do one swap from the gift card to the DAI, so that they can experience, first of all, they can experience KyberSwap, and secondly, they can experience and own their first wallet. And we have like to sort of like preload some ETH, so that the users can pay for the gas. And we found that, you know, that gift card actually helped us onboard a lot of new users, and a lot of them are first time crypto users.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. That's a great idea, I think. Especially kind of getting first time user onboarding is a big aspect right now, right? That's kind of where we're, in my opinion, kind of stuck with mass adoption. So that's good to hear. You know, I guess in talking about all this, and we can use KyberSwap for an example, I mean, what aspects of everything we've talked about so far are on-chain and what parts are off-chain?
I guess all the token, all the rates are on-chain. On KyberSwap, there's only the user interface that is off-chain, as in like all the JavaScript and all the UI code is off-chain. So what that means is that, you know, you can still use Kyber without KyberSwap, right? So you can still use Kyber if you run your own node. You can just, you know, create your own transaction and send it to our smart contract with the correct parameters. You can still use Kyber on MITRE wallet and ARM token and Ancient wallet and you know, many other wallets that have already integrated with Kyber. I think all the critical components are on chain, right? And essentially, KyberSwap is yet another way for the end users to interact with the smart contract.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. It's all the essential stuff, like you said, is on chain, which is key, right? Like keeping custody and executing the trades and all that. You know, how has the adoption or use of your platform been so far? I mean, I guess first, if you want, you could maybe talk kind of raw liquidity numbers or user data or metrics, or more in general, like, is it better or worse than you envisioned, let's say, back in, you know, 2016, 2017?
So recently we have made, you know, good progress in terms of like getting more users, getting more, you know, people to become like, you know, liquidity providers in the network as well. So in terms of like, you know, the inventory depth with all the integration with Uniswap and also Oasis Dex and also other web market makers that we have, I think currently we have like up to around 8 to 9 million USD inventory that is available for the users, for the takers to take, right? And in terms of like number of market makers and other liquidity sources that have integrated with us, we have around like 24 or 25 of them. And every day, I think there are like almost like 2,000 transactions from the taker side. So that includes like end user, you know, trading, you know, all the DeFi integration and things like that. And in terms of volume, it has been quite consistent in the last like 1 month. The volume is from, you know, ranging from 1 million to like 1.5 million USD every day, right? And on a good day, the network process up to like 3.5 to 3.8 million USD, which is, you know, like really, really high compared to the numbers when we started like back in 2017, right? No, I think we first launched in like 2018, April. The number back then was like, you know, 100K USD and and 150K USD per day. You know, it's like 10 times since we started. Yeah, and I think in terms of like the taker side, we're trying to work with more and more project that have liquidity need, right? Like all the DeFi application that have the need to liquidate their asset and that want to have like, you know, on-chain trading so that they don't have to talk to centralized servers, or they don't have like to talk to centralized exchanges. They you know, it's quite essential for them to integrate with protocol like Kyber to you know, for their own trading.
I guess, you know, talking, you mentioned it already, but I know I actually just today was checking out KyberSwap again before our talk, and I saw that you linked to Nuo Network on your page, which you had just mentioned, you know, kind of for margin trading and stuff. You know, are they tied to Kyber at all? Like, are you guys affiliated, or are you just, because they're tapping into your pool, you know, you're just kind of giving them a link, or how does that work?
Yeah, so Nuo integrated with Kyber to take the liquidity from the pool, right? So and they reached out to us, and they said they asked if they can you know, put a link you know, to Nuo on KyberSwap, and said, yeah, why not? Just want to support you guys as well. Yeah, so we are totally, you know, independent, right? And yeah, so far there's only like integration on the smart contract. So the idea here is that, like, you know, when the users, when they do the margin trade, right, and if the position gets liquidated, Nuo will just do that on Kyber, and they actually introduce a lot of you know, volume to Kyber as well.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that project, so it was cool to see that link there. There's so many cool DeFi trading apps coming out, so it's great to see synergies between projects.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think like it's quite essential for all these project like Nuo and other decentralized trading project to work with other on-chain protocol, right? Because, you know, if they want to work with something off-chain, it's extremely hard for them to you know, first of all, to have a trustless model, right? Because if they have to talk to some centralized server, then first of all, they have to trust the centralized server in the first place, right? And secondly, they have like to build a bridge between off-chain and the smart contract, off-chain server and the smart contract, which introduce another sort of like centralization of trust, right? That may be a potential, you know, source of failure as well. So for Nuo, when they integrate with Kyber, there's this, you know, a simple smart contract call from their own smart contract to our Kyber smart contract. They don't have to trust anything at all, right? And everything is super transparent for themselves and even like for their own users as well. So yeah. So I think it's just native for them to integrate with us.
Nice. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, Anthony and I talk all the time on the podcast about how liquidity rules in DeFi, right? And if we don't have liquidity, we're not going to see adoption. I mean, it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation, but I think liquidity rules all, and you guys are trying to create that for DeFi projects to tap into, which is great. Can you talk a little bit about the KNC token and just kind of what function it plays in Kyber? You know, is it required to use the platform? Is it required to, you know, provide liquidity or use KyberSwap, or just kind of where it comes into play?
Right. So KNC was really designed to sort of like optimize the to remove all the friction for the end users, right? So first of all, we don't require the end users to use the token in order to you know, participate in the platform, right? Like if you trade on KyberSwap, there's, you know, you don't have to use KNC at all, and you don't even need to have KNC there, right? So currently KyberSwap is required for the liquidity providers. So if they want to, so for every trade, the liquidity providers will have to pay you know, some fees, and that fee is going to be in KNC. So the reasoning here is that, you know, first of all, the liquidity providers, they are the people who are going to make profit, right? So it's sort of like, it makes sense to ask them to pay some fees. And secondly, they are technical enough to acquire KNC beforehand. So that they can still process the trade for the end users. And if we ask the end users to pay the fees in KNC, they're not going to do it, right? They just leave the platform. They just like use something else that is easier for them, right? So that's what we have seen with a few platforms that, you know, charge the user fees in their own native tokens. So what happens is that no one is going to pay, and all the platforms, they cannot charge the users, right? And just like offer it for free. And currently, for all the currency that the market makers paid, part of it is paid to the end user interface that introduces the users to the platform, right, to the network. Like, you know, KyberSwap received a portion of it, and if MITRE wallet introduces the users, they also get a portion of it. And the rest of the tokens is burned, as in it's taken out of the circulation by just, you know, sending to a address that no one control the private key. Yeah, and this I think just like 10 hours ago, or not even 10 hours, yeah, but like, you know, seven or eight hours ago, we just you know, celebrated the first 1 million currency burn in the network. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Congrats on that. I guess by the time this goes out, it'll be 8 hours plus 7 days or so. But yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's a good milestone, definitely. I guess I want to shift just a little bit to talking about the future of the product. And I guess I'll first start with, obviously there's a big focus on scalability, right? And everyone's talking about ETH scalability and ETH 1.x and layer 2 and 2.0. I mean, there's kind of scalability sprinkled in everywhere there. I guess, is your platform hindered at all, in your opinion, by a lack of scalability? And, you know, if yes, have you explored potential scalability options, maybe it be layer 2?
I think so far we don't have much concern about scalability. I mean, of course, if the network is busy during like CryptoKitties and the previous like ICO craze, then maybe we need a better scalable solutions. But I think at the moment the major concern is always usability and the how to make it easy for the users to interact with any dApp, with any smart contract. I think the problem that we see is that like when we introduce the platform, like, you know, even KyberSwap to the end users, the key setup is extremely hard, right? They have like to download MetaMask, they have like to set up their keys, you know, keep the backup and get their first Ether in order to interact with any dApp, right? And it's just like, I think like 99% of the users will just give up in the middle, and we are left with like only 1%. Yeah, so I think it's more important to, I mean, of course, I do acknowledge that, you know, scalability is going to be a major problem that everyone should address. But at the same time, we should also like pay as much attention to make it easy for the end users to use, any cryptocurrency and to manage their own private key and make it easy for them to acquire the first crypto in order to use any dApp, right? I think that's also, super important for mainstream adoption.
Yeah, fully agree. I mean, I think it's kind of like a triangle that's all equal to me, right? It's like usability, scalability, and privacy. Like, we need to keep going on all three of those fronts to get to mass adoption.
Yeah. So I think like from Kyber's perspective, we still like, you know, follow ETH 2.0. We still like, you know, talk to L2 solution project. But our primary focus at the moment is always, you know, making it easy for the users to use the platform and to onboard new project, new users to Kyber.
Yeah, for sure. Totally agree. I guess on that, have you guys thought at all about ETH 2.0? Like, if and when it happens, would you just migrate over, or like, have you guys not thought about that at all?
We haven't really thought about it because we don't know like what's the complete picture of ETH 2.0 yet, right? Because I think so far we have only seen the spec of phase zero, right? We haven't seen the spec of phase one, so we cannot make any informed decision yet. So I guess we have to wait until it's available.
Yeah, so I guess just shifting to, you know, kind of the future plans for Kyber. I mean, we've talked a lot about what's there today, and, you know, you guys have got a lot of good liquidity going and end-user apps tapping in. Kind of what are the future plans of the product beyond this? Is it just to kind of harden the product as is today, or are you going to kind of shift into different areas, or kind of what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, we'll still continue working on the current product and you know, trying to work with more projects, having more people to set up, you know, to integrate with Kyber, to contribute liquidity to the network. But at the same time, we are looking at, like, you know, how we can really, like, decentralize the entire network, right? I mean, currently, it's good that the execution of the trade and everything is on the smart contract, which is you know, managed by a decentralized network, but, you know, we still have a sort of like centralized team and centralized direction over there. So we are looking at, like, you know, how we can actually use decentralized governance for that, right? And of course, I think, like, a lot of people have been talking about decentralized governance, and there have been a lot of debate on Twitter as well. But I think, like, we don't know, like, what to build for decentralized governance yet. So our approach so far is that, you know, we plan to do a lot of experiment, right, with existing governance platforms, and see what's gonna be best for Kyber. Yeah, so I think our view about decentralized governance is that, you know, first of all, we really help it to build something that is worth governing, right, before we actually, you know, consider whether to have, like, decentralized governance or not. So that has always been our approach so far, you know, develop something that people care about and people wanted, like, to, you know, be part of it, right, before deploying any, like, governance protocol to actually govern the thing that we built.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. Governance is such a hot topic right now. I mean, I think there'll be a fit for certain. I mean, I'm really enjoying all the experimentation and DAOs and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. So I think it's been a great conversation. I mean, I guess I would ask, what's the best way that people can kind of follow your team? And you guys are, you know, working through a lot of developments, and you got a lot of liquidity going. And what's the best way for people to kind of keep up to date with your product?
So we always, you know, have all the latest update on our blog. You know, just go to blog.kyber.network. We also have our own subreddit. You know, just go to you know, reddit.com/kybernetwork. You see all the latest news and all the discussion there. And if you want more, like, you know, active conversation, you can go to our you know, either follow our Twitter and you know, tweet to us, right? And or you can also go to our Telegram channel, also at Kyber Network. You know, there are, like, I think more than 10,000 people there to you know, to talk with you.
Great, sounds good. Well, thanks a lot, Loi. I think this has been a great conversation. You guys are doing a lot of good work in the DeFi and decentralized exchange space. So just keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Yeah, it's been great.
Thanks for listening to the Into the Ether podcast.